Well, for those of you who have been with us from the beginning of the start of this mission, I want to remind us that it's been nearly 10 years. It'll be 10 years this Christmas that we began our mission here as a mission of the Charismatic Episcopal Church. And at that time, we were called Lamb of God Church. And in those early years before our conversion to Orthodoxy, we were blessed to have an assistant pastor and priest, Father Ray Strasser, a retired Army chaplain that had spent a long career as a chaplain in the Army, retiring as a colonel. Father Ray was full of wisdom and spiritual discernment. He had a heart for the poor and for the disenfranchised in life. And even though Father Ray departed this life about a year ago, long after he was supposed to have died from his diagnosis of multiple myeloma bone cancer, we continue to be blessed by his service to this mission, to this community of faithful. But I am also reminded and still influenced by his work and his godly example, even though he never had the opportunity or chose to follow us into the Orthodox faith. But one of the things I'm reminded about with regard to Father Ray is one of the things that he would often say, and he would say, God has you in a new starting place. God has you in a new starting place. A new starting place. But this reference to a new starting place was almost never spoken of by Father Ray in terms of a personal situation by which things were going fabulous, going smoothly and wonderful, where one had become a sudden recipient of God's blessings, but rather was usually in response to a place of crisis, to a severe testing of one's faith, where one was facing perhaps either uncontrollable external circumstances such as the loss of a job or the loss of health, or where one was suffering, and this was more often than not, where one was suffering the consequences of his own sins and poor decisions which were counter to the will of God. So today, on this last Sunday of the year, this last Sunday of the liturgical year, the last Sunday of Pentecost, before starting the new liturgical year next Sunday with the first Sunday in Advent, I am reminded of Father Ray's words. And as we are closing out the year, poised for the start of a new year, I declare to you those words, God has you, has us in a new starting place. The gospel lesson today seems quite apocalyptic. It is Jesus' teaching on the end of the age, and he draws from imagery, he draws from direct references from the prophet Daniel in describing a time which was known as in the Old Testament words as the end of the age. And Jesus goes on to describe this end of the age as a period of great tribulation. And this is coming from the Gospel of St. Matthew in the 24th chapter. He also speaks of it as the abomination of desolation. But we see in here that Jesus is speaking of a time of woes when it would not be good for us for these things to be faced when in the winter, when it was not easy to flee, when a mother's not nursing a baby. And to not take the time for those who are in the field to go and gather your things. But he's talking about an imminence, a suddenness of this coming. And he says in verse 21 of Matthew 24, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then he goes on to describe how many will be deceived. False Christ and prophets will rise. And not only will they declare themselves to be the Christ, not only will they prophesy, but Jesus is telling us that they will do so with great signs and wonders. The power of the enemy, the power of Satan, will equip them to perform supernatural things so as to deceive, in some cases, even the elect. Jesus is describing a great tribulation. But I want us to understand that counter to the thinking of many fundamentalist Christians, that the Great Tribulation is not some future season of time that we try and reconcile and try to predict, like what is the sequence of all that? What specifically do these signs mean in terms of those sequences and so forth? And we see this whole notion of the Great Tribulation being off in a distant future has popularized, especially by Tim LaHaye's book series, Left Behind, and the movies that went along with it. But I declare to you this morning that the church has always taught that at the end of the age, this period of Great Tribulation was actually inaugurated with the birth of the church. We are living in a period of Great Tribulation. And that is not to say, and I don't want us to misunderstand, that is not to say that things cannot get any worse, because they most certainly will. And we can look at the people of Syria, the faithful Orthodox Christians in Syria who are being murdered, who are being pushed out of their homes, who are suffering greatly. And we can say beyond a doubt, and these people know beyond a doubt, that they're living in the Great Tribulation. We share the pain. We share the suffering. And you see, in the Eastern Rite, the gospel passage this morning, this apocalyptic passage, is read on Holy Monday, the Monday of Holy Week, following Palm Sunday, and just before Pascha, before Good Friday. You see, this end of the age is representative of being joined to our Lord as he faces betrayal, mocking, and ridicule, as he faces the great torment of being beaten and scourged and nailed to a cross as he died, only to be raised again so that death might be destroyed, that death might be vanquished. It is representative of a pivotal and defining and seminal moment in salvation history to which we have been joined. And we see this in the epistle lesson this morning from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. In the first chapter, beginning in the ninth verse, he writes, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering." You hear that? All long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. As Jesus is proclaiming this passage in Matthew 25, and of course, something that St. Paul probably had in mind as he was writing this epistle to the Colossians, Christ our Lord in his gospel is proclaiming in this first advent of the Lord, being brought from darkness into light, being brought from death into eternal light, into eternal life, being brought from utter weakness, from utter brokenness into his might and strength. How? Through redemption made possible. Through the shedding of his blood. Through the forgiveness of our sins. You see, the good news is that we have redemption. That Christ is victorious over the power of sin, death, darkness, and our separation from God. Death has been destroyed. And yet we, living in the end of the age, are being tested. We are being tested. Our faith is being proven in the midst of the uncontrollable circumstances of our life immediately around us and our world, our nation, and even our whole world. Those trials and tribulations that can either cause us to become obsessed and consumed such that we are drawn away from our faith, or such that we are being driven toward our faith. Our faith being tempered and proven in the furnace of fire and tribulation. Not only are we seeing the turmoil and the wars of this world, but the enemy is doing everything that he can to deceive us, to get us to follow false Christ or false notions of who Jesus and the church is, to be preoccupied with the concerns of the temporal things of this world that are fleeting, to remain in bondage to our own disordered passions, our addictions, our worldly distractions and repeated falls into sin, and to somehow be deceived into thinking that I'm really okay. I'm really okay in light of some of the other people of the world. But as we stand prepared to close out this liturgical year and enter a new year, I want to remind us that God has us at a new starting place, that a door is being opened. And I want to remind us that one of those doors that is being opened is the door of the confessional. That as we enter this period of penitence, the fast of the Nativity, the fast of Advent, we have an opportunity to truly be in that new starting place. For as uncomfortable and painful as it is to take inventory of our lives, to acknowledge of our own sins and failures, to feel the pain of those consequences, God, through his priests, so freely offer that redemption, that forgiveness of sins, those words of promise through the mouths of the priest. Your sins are forgiven. Christ has you in a new starting place. The great Western monastic Saint Benedict established, I've shared with you, as one of the rules for his community, the rule of what was known in the Latin as conversatio. Conversatio, that is the daily conversion of life. It's not simply a matter of going to an altar one time and saying the sinner's prayer. It's not a matter of one time repenting prior to baptism. It's not only a matter of repenting one or two times a year before going into the confessional. And it's not only about our life of religious piety, but what conversatio is saying and declaring, which is really an orthodox form of spirituality, is that our spiritual life, our life hidden in Christ, affects all of life. All of life becomes sacramental, becomes an expression of a living faith which has to be renewed daily, every day. Scripture tells us that God's mercies are new each morning. Isn't that a wonderful promise? His mercies are new each morning. Each morning is an opportunity for us to begin at that new starting place. That new starting place in God of saying, this day I choose you, Lord. This day I choose to follow you, even though it be the way of the cross, even though it be the way of pain and suffering and ridicule and scorn and rejection. I choose you because I choose the path of redemption. I choose a life eternal. As you know, we have been considering the purchase of a piece of property up near Emmitsburg. And last Sunday, as I communicated with you through email and our email group, last Sunday at our church council meeting, the annual church council meeting, we voted unanimously to make an offer on one of the lots, the parcels up there. And I don't know that offer will be accepted or not. But one of the things that Subdeacon Stephen and I had the opportunity to discuss in relation to this is that I think that even if it is rejected, even if we never purchase one of those lots up in Emmitsburg, I think that the wonderful thing that is happening as a result is that God is using it as a testing, as an opportunity for us to step out in faith, for us to have a vision for where God may be leading us, to lead us out of our own comfort, out of our own security and sense of apathy, that we are members of the living army of God, that we are on the march, such that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We are a new starting place. A new starting place, and I think that this land opportunity is only emblematic of what God is doing in the lives and in the hearts of each of us. Jesus said in the gospel lesson today, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." The promises of the Lord and God are eternal. Even as we face those temporary defeats, even as we face the turmoil and the suffering and the grief and the discouragement and the loneliness and isolation and the fears of this world, for in the hope of these promises, we can declare in whatever the trial is, whatever it is that we are facing, that God has us in a new starting place. One of our newest sisters in Christ and one of our oldest members, Claire Catherine Schumacher, as you know, has just turned 93, and she has been suffering from congestive heart failure and has been in hospice care at home over the course of the last 6 months. And she's a strong woman who continued to fight for her independence to be able to live at home, so fearful that one day she would have to go to a nursing home. And this past week, I got a call from her on Tuesday evening after we finished our session here at the church on the Becoming Truly Human initiative, and she was in much distress, short of breath, very weak and shaky. And she shared with me that she believed the time had come that she could no longer care for herself, that her symptoms were just becoming too advanced. And so the social worker and the hospice nurse this week called me and said that she was being qualified as a candidate for the Klein Hospice House down in the southern end of Frederick County. And so yesterday, as emotionally difficult as it was to gather her belongings up and to drive her down to the Klein Hospice House, and getting there, what a blessing it became. It's a beautiful place and out in the middle of the countryside. And there we met two of the nurses who will be taking care of her. And right now it's only her and one other patient. And they immediately began to treat Claire like a queen. She immediately was at peace and felt at home and ministered to. And even though it is likely that she will spend the remainder of her days there, and whether those days be just a handful or weeks or months, we are certain that she will have trials ahead of her as she approaches that time of her passing. But I think that this itself is representative in our own life, that whether our days are long or short, that no matter what we face, that we, like Claire, can have that peace and assurance, that we do not fear death, because Christ has been victorious over it, that we may enter that new starting place, that place that He sets before us every single day, where His mercies are new each morning, that we may, with the glory of God in Christ, appropriate for ourselves those precious promises of His truth, His words, that will by no means pass away. Let us bless the Lord that He has put us in a new starting place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.